Now we will be reading from the Bible passage today, which is from John chapter 1. The next day, John was there again with two of his disciples. When they saw Jesus pass by, they say, "Look, the Lamb of God." When the two disciples hear him say that, they follow Jesus. Turning around, Jesus saw them follow and asked, "What do you want?" They say, "Rabbi," which means teacher, "where are you staying?" "Come," he replied, "and you will see." So they went and saw where he was staying, and they spent that day with him. It was about 4 in the afternoon. Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, was one of the two who heard what John had said and who had followed Jesus. The first thing Andrew did was to find his brother Simon and tell him, "We have found the Messiah, that is the Christ." And he brought him to Jesus. Jesus looked at him and said, "You are Simon, son of John. You will be called Cephas," which, when translated, is Peter. The next day, Jesus decided to leave for Galilee. Finding Philip, he said to him, "Follow me." Philip, like Andrew and Peter, was from the town of Bethsaida. Philip found Nathanael and told him, "We have found the one Moses wrote about in the law, and about whom the prophets also wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph." "Nazareth, can anything good come out there?" Nathanael asked. "Come and see," said Philip. When Jesus saw Nathanael approaching, he said of him, "He truly is an Israelite, in whom there is no deceit." "How do you know me?" Nathanael asked. Jesus answered, "I saw you while you were still under the fig tree before Philip called you." Then Nathanael declared, "Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel." Jesus said, "You believe because I told you I saw you under the fig tree. You will see greater things than that." Then he then said, "Very truly I tell you, you will see heaven open and the angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man." Now, Reverend Ying will be preaching to us.
Okay, good morning, our 1115 congregation. And if you are new here for the very first time, a very special welcome to you. We hope that your time with us will be both enjoyable and also stimulating, to say the least. My name's Ying, and I'm the English pastor here. And just to let you know, we're now starting a new series called What is a Disciple? When we began this year, we began the year by reminding ourselves what our main core business is. And you could say that we wanted to launch the year, and I'm going to start sharing my screen now. Actually, let me just share my screen. Here we are. Right. We launched the year by talking about the Great Commission. The Great Commission. We wanted to set a trajectory about what we want to actually do in the year. And for the English leaders, we got an organization called the Vine Growers in to help us to think about how we can make our church a church that fulfills the Great Commission. But guess what? Then, as you know, COVID-19 hit us like a bomb, like anything. And everything went down a lockdown. Here's a picture of Sydney George Street. And when it's during the middle of that pandemic, where everything was just basically a ghost town like. I never had the opportunity to actually go and see Sydney in this unusual time. I actually wanted to, but I never got a chance to. And of course, there's Chinatown, which was also a ghost town. And what's interesting about Chinatown is that it was the busiest time of the year. That's Chinese New Year COVID-19 hit the world. And so what is normally a very busy part of the time of the year became a very quiet time. So everything got derailed. Focus was not on so much making disciples anymore, but getting us online. And while we know there are some challenges and issues with Zoom online, I know that some of us are struggling with this sort of Zoom online. And so our energy and our focus just shifted to just getting everyone online, making the technology work, and trying to work out actually how to do a Zoom service online and also how to build a community online. But that being said, we want to refocus and to re-energize ourselves and get back to what we're supposed to be talking about, and that is how to make disciples. That is our core business, making disciples. And when you think about it, it's in our vision. We talk about being one community, serving, growing Christ, serving each other in love, reaching the world with the gospel. And that's about making disciples, right? But now we are forced to go online. But here's the funny thing. Even though Zoom has presented us a lot of difficulties, we just can't meet physically. I know for many of us, we would like to come back and meet physically. The reality is that we can't. Nevertheless, it has created new opportunities that we have never imagined before. And so you could say that the opportunity to reach the world literally was just talk beforehand, but it's literally an open door. We can, through Zoom, reach everyone. And so in the Mandarin service, for example, there are people in China that are Zooming in to the Mandarin service. And even at 4 p.m., there are people who came from China who had to go back to China. But because they couldn't find a church, whether they do, they still have logged into our service here at Milsons Point. And there are people who wanted to come to church, but they couldn't because of distance and things like that. I know that we got some people like Tim and Michelle who've gone over to Bankstown out in the western suburbs near Perth, so to speak. And they're Zooming in. So good to see you, Tim and Michelle. Is Michelle on time in a Zoom? So it's created new opportunities for us that we had never imagined before. But that being said, so I want to encourage everyone to grab the opportunity while it's still there. But that being said, what we want to do now in the middle of the year, in July, halfway, we want to get back and refocus and re-energize ourselves to what we're supposed to be doing, and that is fulfilling the Great Commission. And what was the Great Commission? Well, Jesus told us that Great Commission there at the very end of Matthew's Gospel. Jesus came and said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you, and surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." And if you recall, the focus of the Great Commission wasn't so much on the going, but on the making. Therefore, in other words, what Jesus is saying here is that by saying, wherever you go, in other words, what Jesus is saying, wherever you go, make disciples. There's an assumption that Jesus is saying, and the assumption is, it's not so much a special going that he's talking about here, it's rather a rather focused doing. He's calling upon people that wherever you are, to make disciples. Whether you're in the home, make disciples. Whether you're hanging around with your neighbors, think about how to make disciples of them. When you're at work with your colleagues, think about how to make disciples overseas or here, right? But that being said, it doesn't exclude the idea of going. There is an element of truth where we do need to go, right? And some of us should go and make disciples, go to the nations of the world. And we have missionaries we support in our CCC who have not only making disciples here, but have felt the call to go and make disciples overseas. But we also need to remember this call to make disciples is not so much an opinion. It's not a suggestion or an advice. It is a command. And so even in the original language, which is Greek, right, the original language, the word is strong. It's a command. Make disciples. Wherever you go, you are commanded. Note that phrase, commanded to make disciples. So how do we make disciples? Well, we are told to make disciples by baptizing them. That is to say, it's a call to allegiance, not just about putting water on them, but about calling them to change their allegiance. It's about teaching them the word of God and actually calling them to obey. And the importance of this is seen by the fact that Jesus is always going to be with us to everywhere and to the end of the age. That, in other words, this command to make disciples is a command that stays with us to the very end of time. To the very end of time. So we are called to make disciples wherever and wherever. That being said, what I want to do today, and we're going to do over the next 3 weeks, is to dive deeper into this question, what is a disciple? What is a disciple? You see, if we're going to make disciples, we need to be very crystal clear what a disciple is, because I think there's a lot of fuzzy thinking in our church. Sometimes our thinking's too narrow. Sometimes, many times, it's too vague. And it's important to be very clear, because if we're called to make disciples and we're not clear what a disciple is, we might discover that we're making anything else other than a disciple. Or many of us might think we actually are disciples when in fact we are not. And so if we're saying that our commission is to make disciples of all nations, then we need to be very crystal clear what a disciple is. So over the next 3 weeks, I want to dive deeper in this question, what is a disciple? But I want to do it in a slightly different way than how we've done it in the past. Firstly, as you know, the normal way of what we preach in the English service here at CCC is we generally take a passage and we just unpack that passage and think through its implications for us, okay? That is the normal, I have to say, it's one of the easiest way of actually unpacking the Bible. But today what I'm going to do is not so much dive deep into one passage, but collect a lot of passages from different parts of the Bible. You could say this is a topical study, where we're looking at the topic of discipleship and seeing what different parts of the Bible says about the topic of discipleship. So that's a departure from how I would normally teach, right? So that's just a heads up so that we can manage our expectation. But the second way that I'm going to do this differently is that I'm going to get you engaged to help me think about this passage. One of the dangers of Zoom is that we can treat it basically like a show. I come in, I watch, I'm passive in it. But I think one of the great things that Zoom has afforded us is the opportunity to participate in a sort of not so threatening way. We have the whiteboard, we have the chat function. So I actually want to actually get us involved in contributing to the message. And I think that's worthwhile because I think, excuse me, there's a lot of people in the congregation who actually have valuable insights and experiences and perspectives that would actually help the whole community. So that's what I want to do, all right? So there's going to be a bit of function, a bit of sort of flipping around from whiteboard to chat, back to my slideshows and me, all right? Now, if you don't know where the chat function is, it's on the top bottom of your Zoom thing. It's in your iPads, the top three dots on the right-hand corner. And in terms of the whiteboard, I don't know. Someone can put on the whiteboard and tell us where it is, all right? But let's start off with this question, right? What is a disciple? What is a disciple? What I want you to do is write on the whiteboard. I'm going to stop sharing this one. What is it? I'm going to put a whiteboard on now. Here's the whiteboard. I'm going to ask you, if you had to think of the word disciple, what comes into your mind? If you have to think of the word disciple, what comes in your mind? Maybe someone could type that question onto the whiteboard. They did that at 9:15. I thought, wow, they're pretty savvy. When you think of the word disciple, what comes to your mind? Okay, let's think about it. God's follower, a student, someone who follows Christ, mentee, okay? Follower, anyone else? And also in the chat, I'm sure also in the chat function too, I believe. Some people, last time people put in the chat function. Follower of Jesus, student, anyone else? Follower and true believer. I'm trying to follow the chat and the whiteboard. Flicking my head around so I make sure I don't get his whiplash. Teacher, when you think about a disciple, you think about the teacher, I presume that. An apprentice, yeah, they're good things. anything else? Lastly, God's follower, apprentice, yeah. They're all, let me clear this whiteboard and chat. Okay, let me clear it all. stop the share, and let me come back to share my screen. So what is a disciple? Well, I think the first thing we could say is a disciple is a disciple is a learner. That's the thing that we think about a disciple. He's a learner. And if that, it needs to be said that that's what the word actually means. So the word disciple comes from a Greek word, and the Greek word means learner. So here's the thing. When we're talking about discipleship, what are we saying? Discipleship means learnership. Now, obviously, it's not a nice word we don't often use. Nevertheless, it captures the idea. When we're called to make disciples, we are called to make learners. We are called to create students. That's what we are. We are asking people to, we're in the task of creating students. Now, let's pause and think about this whole idea of learning and studying, right? This time, let's use the chat function, the chat function. Let me ask you the question, right? The question is, this is the question. What does it take to be a good learner? Now, here at CCC, most of we are highly sort of educated people. What does it take to be a good learner? Or what does it take to be a good student? Why don't we put in there? Humility. Ask questions. Yep. Is that Tim? Is that discipline? Discipline. Willing to accept feedback. Is that from a teacher, Rebecca? Yes. Interest. Yeah. I suppose that's true, isn't it? You're not going to learn if you're not interested. Openness. Observant. Curiosity. The ability to unlearn. And that's a good one. The ability to unlearn. Teachability, willing to accept, concentration. Good one, Annabelle. I hope you concentrate. Focus, humility, introspection, understanding. I suppose introspection, Angela, is more the idea you've got to be able to self-examine yourself, isn't it? To be able to apply knowledge and skills. That's from another teacher, Toby. Practice, listener. They're good ideas, right? But it's interesting, isn't it, that if we're going to be good disciples, then we've got to be good learners. And everything that you guys have said in the chat function are absolutely true. You've got to be learn to listen. You've got to learn to concentrate. You've got to actually be able to focus. You've got to be willing to unlearn. You've got to be teachable. You've got to be curious. You've got to be observant. They're all good things. So when we're talking about being a learner, a disciple, those are the qualities we have. Now, let's ask another question, right? Let's ask a question. What are the challenges then that we have personally faced in being a good student? Now, we're just talking about personal challenges, okay? What are our personal challenges? Distraction, yeah, distraction. Tim. Temptation, yeah. Reality. Bored, yeah. Work stubborn. Yeah, that's so true. Food. Yes, that's right, Tim. Food. Lazy. Who's that from? Clement or Charmaine or both? Right? Modern convenience, busyness. Charmaine. Okay, Charmaine, it's you, lazy. Lack of determination, mental overload. They're all the challenges, right? And there are the challenges that people have to overcome if they're going to be disciples of Christ. Let's go to the next one, right? If a disciple is a disciple of Christ, what else does it mean? He's a learner, right? He's a learner. But what is he learning? A disciple of Christ is a learner of Christ. A disciple of Christ is a learner of Christ. Have a look at this passage here. This is from the letter to Ephesians. And here Paul is talking about the problems of the Christians in the church. And what says he about the world? Having lost all sensitivity, they have given themselves over to sensuality, so to indulge in every kind of impurity, and they are full of greed. That, however, is not the way of life you learn. So Paul is saying that you've learned a way of life. Now, this is from the New International Version, which most of us, I presume, use. It's a Mondo version, and it's quite easy to read. But it's not as precise as some other translation. Look at this other translation, which is from the ESV version, the English Standard Version, which is also modern. It's not as easy to read, but it does capture. Notice what it says, but that is not the way you learn Christ. See, in other words, what Paul was saying here wasn't that you weren't to learn a way of life. It's about learning Christ. It's about learning about, it's learning the person. In other words, what we're learning is not some ideas. We're not learning a set of skills. We're not learning a set of truths, although they're certainly no doubt part of it. But we're learning something much, much bigger. We're learning a person. We're learning a person. Jesus is the object of our learning. It's not a textbook, it's Jesus. Now, what does that mean? Well, I think Paul captures this nicely. Paul, a disciple, first century disciple who wrote many of the letters in the New Testament, this is what he says, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and may share his suffering, becoming like him in his death, that by any means possible, I maintain the resurrection from the dead. You see what Paul says? What does a disciple of Christ, as Paul, he wants to know him. You see that? He's not just wants to know a set of truths, not just a set of skills. Disciple is not just about a ritual, going to a building one day a week, or even just zooming in. A disciple is a learner. What is he learning? He's learning Jesus. He's learning Jesus. And what does it mean to learn to lead? How do you learn Jesus? How do you learn a person like any person? You learn a person by listening to them, by looking at them. You want to learn about a person because that's what a disciple is. It's very different to going to a mathematics class. I'm just learning. I'm a math student. It's very different to going to a philosophy class, then I'm a philosophy student. But it's very different saying being a disciple of, say, someone like Einstein, a disciple of Einstein, or a disciple of Aristotle, or a disciple of Plato versus being a philosophy student of Plato. We are called to be a disciple of Christ, which means we learn what? Christ. So the question is, how do you learn Christ? Well, the obvious question is you follow him. A disciple is a follower of Christ. See, how do you learn any person? You learn a person by following them. You follow them. You want to look at what this person's like. You want to be like that person. You follow the person. So it's not surprising that Jesus constantly calls upon his learners, his students. What? If you want to be my student, then follow me. Don't just sit in a classroom and listen to me. Follow me is his words. So on that passage, say for instance, that we looked at today, the next day, John was there again with two of his disciples. When he saw Jesus passing by, he said, look, the Lamb of God. And when the two disciples heard him say this, they followed Jesus. Turning around, Jesus saw them coming and asked, what do you want? They said, Rabbi, where are you staying? Come, he replied, and you will see. Another word, come. So they went and saw where he was staying. They spent that day with him. It was about 4 p.m. And so when they say, where are you staying? They're not just simply asking for location. It wasn't a geography question. It wasn't a GPS question. It was they want to see something. They want to understand this guy. Where are you staying is, I want to see you. I want to meet you. I want to know you. Look at this. And so it's not surprising that at the heart of being a disciple or being a learner is not just about sitting in a classroom, it's following him. Following him. And so we see this passage. They come, follow me, Jesus said, and I will send you out to fish for people. At once they left their nets, and what did they do? They followed him. Or another passage, similar afterwards. Going from there, he saw two other brothers, James, son of Zebedee, his brother John. They were in a boat with their father Zebedee, preparing their nets. Jesus called them, and immediately they left the boat and their father and followed him. So how can you learn a person unless you follow the person? And Jesus took his disciples, his learners, his students, all around with him on his three-year missionary trip. His disciples would go on his journey. Now, here's an opportunity for, again, for us to share with our knowledge with everyone else. And many of us are Bible readers. I know there's some where the Bible is very new. That's okay. But for those who read the Bible, what I want you to do is on the chat function, I want you to answer the simple question, where did Jesus take his disciples? And I'm not just talking about geography. What situations, circumstances and experience did Jesus take his disciples through? Okay? Why don't you type in the chat function and let's have a listen, because some of you guys know your Bibles well. So let's have a look. Think about what experiences, what circumstances, occasion, prayer, that's right. He showed them prayer, feeding the 5,000. And what did they learn from Jesus? They say, wow, there's this guy can provide, is amazing. Fishing, right? He took them fishing. Again, showed them he can provide for them. Provision. He took out in the wilderness where there was a 5,000 and showed that he was more than capable to provide for them in a miraculous way. He took them teaching. Everywhere he took them on his teaching and they listened to him, the Sermon on the Mount. His disciples listened to him teach. Places where he preached, forgiving prostitutes. That's so true. He ate and drank with prostitutes and sinners. And the disciples saw him as a person who was very different. Valuing women and children. Exactly. That was a world where women and children were second class underrated. But Jesus hung out with them. Who else? Entering Jerusalem. And then what happened in entering Jerusalem? Again, he is there dealing and dialogue and debating with the religious leaders and eventually getting crucified. Loving the unloved. That's right. He welcomed the Pharisees, the sinners and the tax collectors. You can see that through the whole 3 years, eating with sinners, that's so true. You see, if they want to learn about this person, what makes this person tick, they're not just going to sit in the classroom. He's going to take them around. And you want to learn about a person, there's so much more than any book contain. And Jesus wants to expose them and show them and invite them to his life so they can see what makes him tick, how he thinks, what he says, how he responds and something like that. But there's one other thing. If you want to follow Jesus, you know what it involves? It often means having to give up something. There's a story here, Jesus, about a rich young man who wants to follow Jesus. And Jesus said, "Tim, you love your money too much. You got to give it up and follow me." And notice what Jesus said. Jesus, and if you want to be perfect, go sell your possessions, give to the poor, and you'll have treasures in heaven. Then come follow me. And then when the young man heard this, he went away sad because he had great wealth. You want to be a disciple, a student, a learner of Christ, to learn Christ? Then you have to follow him. But to follow him means you must be prepared to leave something in order to follow him, because he's going to take you all over the world. But here's the question. If you're already a disciple of Jesus, can I say to you that Jesus is already even now leading you through different experiences, two different experiences. He's putting us in situations, circumstances that he himself had to experience so that we can learn from him how to face those experiences. In experience, you experience in the dark days that descend upon you, in your sad times, are the sad times that he went through. Jesus has gone through all this, and now he invites you to come work with him through all these different circumstances. Now, what I want to do here now, I want to ask you, and this is anonymous, right? If you are a disciple of Jesus, what places and experience is Jesus leading you to now? You know, what's he trying to teach you? If you're a disciple of Jesus, let it be known he's leading you at this very minute. You might not know, you might not feel it, but he's actually leading you at this very minute. He's putting you in circumstances, putting you in relationships, putting you here and there so that you can learn things from him. What are things that he's trying to teach you? This is an opportunity for us to share with each other things that God is teaching. How to give generously, yeah. He will make life, he will often ask you, give that away and give it to others. To rely on him, he'll take things away from you. He'll put you in difficult circumstances where you can rely on, because he had to go through the same thing. Perseverance. A lot of times, it's difficult times so that you can learn perseverance. And Jesus had to face perseverance. Temptation. Remember the wilderness experience where Jesus was tempted for 40 days. And he wants you to learn the same thing. Live in worldly uncertainty. Yeah. Because Jesus said, I have no place to lay my head and rest. How to love your enemies, how to bless, how to trust him, how to suffer well. These are good things. How to be thankful. That's right. How find joy in suffering. To rely on him, give generously. Anything else? See, if you're a disciple of Jesus, if you want to learn Jesus, then you've got to follow him, or he's going to lead you. And he's not going to just put you in a classroom. He's going to lead you into relationships, into circumstances, difficult days, bright days, hard days, tearful days, crying days, so that you can learn Jesus. You can learn him. Let me clear all this and let's get back to our slides, okay? Here we are. But here's the other thing. What else is a disciple of Jesus? Well, he's a learner. He learns Christ. But what does he want to learn Christ? Make sense. A disciple of Christ learns Christ what? To be like Christ. It stands to reason. You follow someone closely. You know why? Because you want to be like that person. You want to be like that person. A philosophy student is different to a disciple of Plato, because a philosophy student just wants to learn head knowledge. But if a disciple of Plato wants to be like Plato, a disciple of Jesus is not just learning truths. They want to be more than that. They want to be like Jesus. So have a look at this passage here, right? Now that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also should wash one another's feet. Why? I've set an example that you should do as I have done for you. So the way Jesus lived and the way he conducted himself is a call for us to be like him, because that's what it means to be a disciple. I learn from him by following him in order to be like him. Or you take this other passage here. A new command I give you, love one another as I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this, everyone will know that, what? You are my disciples. Now, that's what Jesus says here. Jesus says the way we love each other will be a testimony that we are his disciples, because we are like him. Now, here's my question, and I'll put this on the chat one. What is it about loving each other that demonstrates that we are disciples of Jesus? What is it about loving each other that demonstrates that we are disciples of Jesus? Why don't you put it in? What is it about loving one another that demonstrates that we are disciples of Jesus? God is love, because he first loved us. Following Jesus' example. Anyone else? They're good ones. What is it about loving others that shows to other people that we are Jesus' disciples? Anyone else? Putting others before ourselves. Any other thoughts? Loving others even when it's hard, sacrificing others for ourselves, ourselves for others. When we love someone where there is no personal benefit for us too, Ziggy. Yeah, that's right, Ziggy. Because this is what Jesus wants us to do. Yeah. They're good thoughts. Let me highlight something interesting. That's what Jesus says here. A new command I give you, love one another as I have loved you. So you must. What is it about loving others that shows to others that we are Jesus' son? Because we love them in the way that Jesus loved them. You see, there's two ways to love others. There's the way we love each other like the world, and there's the way we love each other like Jesus. A lot of people, a lot of times we love other people the way we love like the world, but that doesn't show to other people that we're disciples of Jesus. What shows to people that we're disciples of Jesus is that we love like Jesus. Because we're called to be a disciple is that we follow him, to learn from him, to be like him. So here's my question, right? How is Jesus' love very different to the way the world loves? How is it very different? Why don't you put in there? How is Jesus' love very different to the way the world loves? Put in the chat function. He didn't love just those who were good to him. That's right. He loves his enemies. His sacrifice is relentless. Relentless is a good one. He never gave up, because the temptation for us is we always give up. He sacrificed his life. When we were at very worst, he gave us his very best. That's so true. Unconditional is a key thing. Unconditional, which ties in the idea he's relentless. He doesn't discriminate. Thanks. Yep. What else? Any other final thought? Infinite love. Loved us even when we didn't love him back. And that's so true. Because when you think about the way the world loves, it loves conditionally. It has a used by date, so to speak. But Jesus' love is unconditional. He loved those who didn't love him. He died for those who killed him. And so if you're going to be a disciple of Jesus, you've got to love like him. Why is that? Because those who want to learn from him, follow him, to be like him. So here's the other question, right? A disciple, and when you think about it, right, that's why a disciple is never just about learning a body of knowledge. It's about learning a person. And when you learn a person to be like the person, how do you learn to be like the person? To be with that person. But here's the last thing, not last thing. A disciple of Christ has a relationship with Christ. Now that makes sense, isn't it? You follow the person because you like the person. And the discipler will let you follow him because he likes you. There is a relationship, an intimate, a deep relationship between this person. Listen to these words here. Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you my servant, because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I've called you friends, for everything I learned from my Father, I've made known to you. You see what he's saying there? We're no longer just servants. I'm not the boss, just servant. We're friends. We're close friends. Oh, look at this other passage here. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appoint you that you might go and bear fruit that will last, so that whatever you do in my name, I will give you. But notice it. You did not choose me, but I chose you. There's a relationship here, a deep relationship. Oh, look at this one. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep and my sheep know me. You see that deep relationship between I am the good shepherd. My sheep know me and I know my sheep. There's a relationship. But can I say here that I think for many of us, we talk about the relationship with Jesus, but we're actually confused what this means. Let me ask you this question. What are the elements of a relationship? What are the elements of a relationship? Put down again in a chat function. Think about a relationship. What's the idea of a relationship? Commitment, trust. Communication. It's true. Two-way communication. That's true. Two-way communication. That's right. Very right, Angela. Two-way. Anyone else? Because it's, you know, if it's only one-way communication, there's no relationship. There's just frustration. We talk to God. He talks to us. We talk to Jesus. Jesus talks to us. What else? Admiration, respect, forgiveness, giving of self. Interesting, you don't say those things of a book, do you? But you say that of a person. And so my question here is this, right? My question is, do you have a relationship with Christ or not? Now, what I want to do here on the chat function, right? No, not in the chat function. I want to go in the whiteboard, right? Let's get back on the whiteboard. I want to ask you, do you have a relationship with Jesus? Do you have a relationship with Jesus? And what I want you to put on the whiteboard here, or you want to put in the chat function, is a why for yes, I have a relationship, and for no, I don't have a relationship, or a question mark where I'm not quite sure. You can put it down on the whiteboard, or you can put in the chat function, put a why, and, or question mark. What do you think? Yeah. Yep. Question mark? Yep. What else? Maybe. Yep. Question mark. Anyone else? A couple of question marks. Question mark. Yes. Maybe. Anyone else? Cool. Thanks for all that. Okay, let's stop sharing that point now. Let's get back to our main screen again. So here's the thing, right? Oh, let me get back here. Let me put this, put it back here. Yep. See, we're called to make disciples. We are called to make disciples, and that's what we're all about. What is a disciple? Well, a disciple is very simple. One who, in relationship with Christ, who follows Christ to learn Christ to be like Christ. And so I want to wrap up asking a question. Are you a disciple? Here's the thing. If you are a disciple, then know this, that Jesus is now, even this moment, leading you, if you are a disciple. He's leading you into different experiences and different circumstances and different places. Why? Not to break you, but to mold you and to shape you so that you can learn from him to be like him. But if you're not a disciple, or even you're not sure, then let me encourage you to be sure. Why don't you join up to the Investigating Christianity studies that are going to be run online? Because that's an opportunity, firstly, to clarify whether you are a disciple or not. And if you're not, to actually try and figure out, why should I bother becoming a disciple of Jesus? And because half the world, many billions of people are disciples of Jesus. Why is it so important? And so I want to encourage you to think very hard and to invite you to this, what is it? Investigate Christianity study. But let me ask you this, let me wrap it up. We started the year with a mission to go and make disciples. And now in the middle of the year, we want to refocus and re-energize to make disciples of all nations. Let me close in prayer. Father in heaven, you've given us a great commission to make disciples of all nations. Help us, Lord, to be good learners of Christ, to be following him, to learn him so that we might be like him. Help us to grow in our relationship with him. And for those who are uncertain or who are not, may you help them to know and to understand him so they might become disciples of him. In Jesus' name. Amen.